religion is wrong. I don't know if I've ever met a religion or looked at a religion that was 100% wrong. Some are 99%, you know, all the way to some that maybe be 10%, you know, 10% wrong. But I can imagine, because the way that Satan uses deception is he counterfeits. And when you counterfeit, you have to make something look like the original. I go back to the story of the man who was a professional person working within the U.S. government, and his job was to find counterfeit money. And he said he never looked at counterfeit bills. What he did was he focused to become a master on knowing the original. And once he knew the original, if anything was a little off from the original, he would know it had to be a counterfeit. And that's why, again, for us to know the original, we're simply studying the Bible. We don't have to study all the religions of the world out there to know where they're wrong. All you have to do is study the Bible and know where it's right. But what we do is we come into the faith, and there's things that are assumed. You know, replacement theology. Most religions believe in replacement theology, that the church has replaced Israel. And yet it's shocking when we find out there's nothing even remotely in Scripture that says that. That there's more than 150 Scriptures that talk about the redemption of the physical land of Israel in the end time. We went over some of them. And what I'd like to talk about today, in this short message, I want to talk about another great deception that almost every religion on earth believes, and you don't find it in the Bible. And that's the immortal soul. There's nowhere in Scripture that ever says the soul is immortal. And I want to show you where it started. Because it didn't start with the Baptists, and it didn't start with the Catholics. It goes much, much further than that. First, let's start in Genesis 2. Because let's define what a soul is to understand this important topic. Because so many other wrong doctrines come out of that, if you believe the soul is immortal. Genesis 2 and verse 7. And Yahweh Elohim formed the man from the dust of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living soul. You don't have a soul, you are a soul. You are a soul. Literally by the breath of life. That here it was, Yahweh took water and he took earth and put it together like a statue. And then by him breathing into the man, he became a living soul. So we are a soul. We don't possess a soul. And literally what we'll see is what that means is living soul, it's life. That's what it is, the life of Yahweh. It's not a separate spirit that's outside of your body floating around. But literally, it's what gives you life. Because there's one spirit, right? There's not 100 spirits. The same spirit that's in Yahweh is the same spirit in Yeshua, and the same spirit that comes into you. And when you die, what happens? The spirit that gave you the life goes back to Yahweh, because there's only one spirit, and spirit can't die. And then your, you know, dirt that you came from, you go back into the ground. And literally, when you look at Scripture, there's at least 50 Scriptures. And I'm not going to go over this today, but I believe by proving to you that there is not an immortal soul, it's very evident when you're dead, you're sleeping. There is no consciousness in the grave. So Genesis 2, keep there, 16 and 17. And Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, eating you may eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may eat. For in the day you eat of it, you shall not eat. For in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. All right, let's close it up. That's the end of the story, right? Pretty simple. Anything here about you're going to live forever, burning in a hell? Anything that when you eat this fruit, I'll give you a mortal life in an uncomfortable position? No, it's very simple. The day you eat the fruit, you will die. Look the word up in the Hebrew. It means to cease to exist. You are no more. Period. That's coming from Genesis. Very, very basic. So where on earth did the immortal soul doctrine come from? Go to Genesis 3. Genesis 3 and verse 3. I'll start in verse 1. And the serpent was cunning above every beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And interesting enough, when you go, again, the markers in the Bible, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, that all came in later. The original Torah, from Genesis to Deuteronomy, is all with not even separation of words. It's all the letters there. And that's why the Bible code is so interesting. Because when you do equal distance spacing, you come up with different meanings of it. That I believe Yahweh put there. So again, these chapter breaks are there by man trying to put a natural thing, but it's not in the Bible. So when it says they were both naked in verse 25, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed, and then the next verse says the serpent was cunning, do you know that the root word of cunning and naked is the same? See, there's a connection there. And when you read your Bible in the Hebrew, it's very ambiguous. If you're just reading it, so many things, you can't tell what's said until you go to the root. And then you find out it's the same root here and there, and then you know the concept. And that's why Hebrew is so neat. At the Bible school, we have a rabbi who comes in and teaches us Hebrew roots and the roots of the words and how to connect them. It's really, really neat. So the serpent was cunning. So the cunning is connected to the nakedness that the man and the woman did when they disobeyed Yahweh. Above every beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said to the woman, is it so that Elohim said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, of the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, Elohim said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Pretty simple. Now look at the next verse. And the serpent said to the woman, surely you shall not die. For Elohim knows that the day you eat of it, even your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as Elohim, knowing good and evil. So who came up with the doctrine of the immortal soul? Satan. Right here, Satan came up with it. Yahweh said, you sin, you die. Satan said, you will not die, you'll live forever. And that's the doctrine of the immortal soul. The doctrine of the immortal soul is that sin does not bring death, that eternal life is inherent in you. All you have to do is be born and you automatically have eternal life. It's not a free gift of Yahweh. Now again, depending on what you do, your eternal life may be a little more uncomfortable or a little better. But eternal life is eternal life. And it's very clear from Scripture, the soul that sins, it shall die. Sin brings death, nothing less, nothing more, death. And it's scary to think about that. I know for myself, I don't want to cease to exist. I don't want to burn in a fire and my memory is gone. That is as if I was never there again. It's a scary thought to me to think of that. And that's literally what the penalty of the sin is. Go to the New Testament. Is it different in the New Testament? No. Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23.
For the wages of sin
is death. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of Yahweh is everlasting life in Yeshua Messiah our Master. See, and this is what makes the immortal soul doctrine so demonic. Because it takes away the beauty. Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only son. That even when we are sinners, our sins can be forgiven and we can get the gift of eternal life. It's not an inalienable right. It is a gift. And Satan is trying to make you believe it's a right. It's a right. All you have to do is be born and you have immortality within you. Yet, go to 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 14. I'll start in 13. I charge you before Yahweh, he making all things alive, and Messiah Yeshua, the one witnessing the good confession to Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandments spotless, blameless, until the appearing of our Master Yeshua Messiah, who in his own time will reveal the blessed and almighty Elohim, the King of kings and Master of masters, the only one having immortality, living in light that cannot be approached, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and everlasting dominion. Amen. Pretty simple. There's only one that has immortality. When you are immersed into the covenant of Yahweh, you have hands laid on you, his spirit comes in you, you have eternal life. You have eternal life living in you. We do have eternal life, but that eternal life can be taken away from us. You don't see in the Bible, once saved, always saved. What you see is endure till the end. Let no man take your crown. Revelation, there are seven churches. Five of them are saying, unless you repent, your eternal life is taken away. So once saved, always saved. It does not hold up to the scriptural command here. But what happens is, if we are faithful, we know in the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, when Yeshua returns, the eternal life that's living in us, he will give us immortality. Which means then we will be immortal. It'll never be taken away from us. And that's why the first resurrection is the better resurrection. Because there is no second death if you're in the first resurrection. You've already made it. But it says right here, very clear, there's only one that has immortality. And again, we already saw, who is the author of the immortal soul doctrine? Satan. Satan. He wants you to believe that sin will give you eternal life, that sin will not bring death. And it's very simple that sin brings death. Let's go to Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18. Verse 4. Behold, they are all my souls, as the soul of the Father, also the soul of the Son. They are mine. The soul that sins, it shall die. The soul that sins, it shall die. Soul that sins, it shall die. Pretty simple. You know, like I said, there's nothing in here about eternally being tortured. You know, when you look at where did that doctrine come from, it comes from paganism, started in Egypt, then in Greek, Plato, Socrates, Rome, Dante's Inferno, who was an author who came up with this eternal fire and somebody's burning forever. But it's not in Scripture. You don't see this in Scripture. You don't see it in the early congregation. You don't see it anywhere in the biblical doctrine. What you see is the soul that sins, it will die. There is a lake of fire. The lake of fire, the valley of Gehenna, we saw it. It's right here. And it will be a real fire. And just like Sodom and Gomorrah, unfortunately, we didn't get down there. But if you go there, you'll see that the punishment is eternal. It ain't changing. We're 4,000 years later. There still is not even a weed growing out of Sodom and Gomorrah. But the people are dead. There's nothing else there. There's no life to it. So like we say, it's eternal punishment, not eternal punishing. What kind of loving creator would want people to sit there just for eternity burning and burning and burning? And yet we're going to be in the kingdom and see the people we love burning and burning and burning. And how could we have happiness? And you don't find it. You don't find it there in Scripture. What you find is that sin brings death and the soul that sins it will die. Exodus 31. In verse 14, you shall keep the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. The profaners of it shall surely be executed. For everyone doing work in it, that soul, that life, and that's what soul means, life, shall be cut off from the midst of his people. Cut off literally, like you read in Daniel 9, the Messiah will be cut off. It literally means to kill, to die. So literally you see here that the profaners of the Sabbath, the profaners of the covenant, will be executed. They'll be executed. They will die. Matthew 25. Or Matthew 10. Let's go to Matthew 10. In verse 28. And you should not fear the ones killing the body, but not being able to kill the soul. But rather fear him, Yahweh, being able to destroy, totally annihilate, both soul and body in Gehenna. Nothing about the soul eternally burning there. Fear him who is able to destroy, totally annihilate the soul and the body in Gehenna. Let's go back to Genesis 9, because I want to show you a little bit more about this word soul. The word in Hebrew is nephesh. Nephesh. Genesis 9 and verse 10. Start first time. Behold, I am establishing my covenant with you and your seed after you, and with every living creature, with which is among you, among fowl, among cattle, and among every animal of the earth with you, from all that go out from the ark to every animal of the earth. That word living creature is soul. It's nephesh. It's the same word that's used. Nephesh. If you look in Genesis verse 12, right there, chapter 9 in verse 12 there, and Elohim said, this is the sign of the covenant which I am about to make between me and you and every living soul which is with you. for everlasting generations. So even animals have a nefesh. Or they are a nefesh. Because they're alive. And the word nefesh literally means life. It literally means life. Leviticus 17. Scripture I think we all know. Leviticus 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to atone for your souls. For it is the blood which makes atonement for the soul. For this reason I have said to the sons of Israel, no person among you shall eat blood, and the alien who is staying in your midst shall not eat blood. And every man of the sons of Israel, of the aliens who say in your midst, who hunts game, beast, or fowl, which is eaten, shall even pour out its blood and shall cover its dust. For it is the life of all flesh. Its blood is for its life. And I say to the sons of Israel, you shall not eat blood of any flesh, for the life of all flesh is in the blood. Anybody eating it is cut off. So here it is, right? What do you need, though, for the life? You have Yahweh creates this human, and again, when you stop breathing, you still have blood, but you don't have life. But once Yahweh breathed the breath of life into Adam, what did he do? He started circulating the blood throughout his body, and the life started. And that's why he says, the life is in the blood, but you need the oxygen also. You need the oxygen also. Genesis, let's go back to Genesis 9. Genesis 9 and verse 4. But you shall not eat flesh in its life, its blood. That word life there is nefesh. You shall not eat flesh in its life, its blood. The word is nefesh. Nefesh simply means life. You are a living soul. You don't have a living soul. A soul is not a spirit that's floating around next to you. As long as you're alive, you're a living soul. Once you die and you stop breathing, the life that made you alive goes back to Yahweh and you're just there. You're just dirt of the ground. To dust we came, to dust we shall return. Isaiah 53, interesting chapter, the chapter we read the other night, messianic chapter about the Messiah. Isaiah 53. In verse 10, talking about the Messiah. But Yahweh pleased to crush him, to make him sick, so that if he should put his soul as a guilt offering, he shall see seed. He shall prolong his days, and the will of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. Drop down to verse 12. Because of this, I will divide to him with the great and with the strong. He shall divide the spoil, because he poured out his soul to death. The soul that sins, it shall die. And he was accounted with those transgressing, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for transgressors. So clearly we see that even with the Messiah, who had life when he was here, his soul died. His soul died. So again, if we go to John 3:16, summing this up, I'm doing the short version today because I want to leave the time for Orly. But we do have a Bible lesson on this. We have messages online, DVDs, and audio if you want to hear it. We also have a full Bible lesson explaining all of this, going into all the Hebrew words in detail. But one thing, like I said, I think, in just the short time that I am speaking here, I think we can clearly see, and again, I always say, find the pattern, Yahweh doesn't change. The pattern from creation is the soul that sins, it will die. And the day you eat that fruit, you die. Satan comes right after that and says, you will not die, you'll live forever. So again, Satan is the author of the eternal soul. Yahweh is the author of life. But that life is not an inalienable right you have. What is that life? John 3:16. For Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone believing into him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For Yahweh did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might have life through him. The one believing into him is not condemned, but the one not believing has already been condemned, for he has not believed into the name of the only begotten Son of Yahweh. So like I say, I believe that not only is it an incorrect doctrine that's not in the Bible that came from paganism, you know, this idea of an immortal soul. But what it does is it degrades what I just read. You know, we know that through Christianity, this scripture has been overemphasized in a way of false grace. But this is one of the most wonderful scriptures we can have in the Bible. For Yahweh so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that we don't have to die, but we can have eternal life. And eternal life, like we said, the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. But the gift of Yahweh, when you believe that you have an immortal soul, that no matter what vile thing you do, that you'll live forever, that Hitler is going to live forever, and Mussolini is going to live forever, what you do is you degrade the gift of eternal life. Because life, even if it's in a hellfire somewhere, is still life. And I think, to me, one of the most scariest things in the world, like I said in the beginning, is not to exist. To cease to exist. And that's why, when the resurrection comes, and people that are going to the lake of fire, what are they doing? They're weeping and they're gnashing of teeth because they see that fire is real. And they know they're not going to be just in that fire forever. They know they are going to burn up and they are going to cease to exist. And for the atheist, for the non-believer, and for the backslider, they're all going to the same spot. And it will be scary in that day, the reality of it, because it's a real fire. And it really will burn the people. But a fire will last as long as there's something to burn. The punishment is eternal, the punishing is not. Because we have a loving, eternal Creator who, even the lake of fire is an act of love. Because He loves the sinner as much as He loves the righteous. He created all of us. And it says it's not His will for any to perish, but we have free choice. That's love. And that's why He puts before us life and death, and He pleads with us, choose life. But for the ones who don't choose life, it's like if any of you ever had a child who was an addict, a drug addict, and no matter what you did for that child, he kept going back to drugs and going back to drugs, and he was miserable and he was sick and maybe he got AIDS. When he dies, as sad as you feel, there's also relief because you know the suffering is over. And the worst thing in the world for any parent is to see their child suffer. There's nothing worse than that. And to think that this loving Creator that has more love than we can ever imagine, when we give our 100% of our love, it's not even 0.01% what He really has His love. To think that this loving Creator that only wants the best for us, that created a million different types of flowers and colors and everything just for our enjoyment, that somehow He's going to have children He created just burning and burning and burning, and it's not going to affect Him. It's a lie of the devil. And that's exactly what Satan wants us to believe. He doesn't want us to believe that sin brings death. He wants us to believe that eternal life is not a gift, but it's an inalienable right. So like I said, I went into this shortly. There's much more on it. But please, if anyone is interested, you can go to the lesson we have online, or you can also go to the messages. Yahweh bless.